Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. First Corinthians 1:17 says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void." We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we rejoice today again in the fact that we are your children, born again. The scripture says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We're thankful for that magnificent, wonderful blessing of the new birth. We're thankful for salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit that put us into the family of God. We're thankful that we're members of royalty, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven is our eternal home. You've given us what we need for this time that we're here on the earth. And so help us not to be negligent or indifferent to the things that you provided for us. You've made it possible for us to have joy and peace and victory. We thank you for it. We thank you so much for a family as a family here, the Grace family. We're thankful for the love and commitment of each individual to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that all of us will realize the importance of being even more committed to your plan for our lives. We're thankful for the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you've given us your word. You've given us your blessings every day. We ask that you'll bless us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen, you see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. The background here, as all of us probably know, the Apostle Paul. God moved dramatically into the life of this individual. In the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, we find in this 8th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen being stoned to death. And we see Saul of Tarsus observing this situation. We see the power of God working in the life of this man, Saul of Tarsus, beautifully, magnificently presented to us in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. God worked miraculously in the life of this Jew and had a special purpose and plan for him, and that it would be that he would be a minister to the Gentiles. When you come to the wonderful books of Corinthians, you'll discover that the Corinthian believers had many, many difficulties, problems. Many of them had chosen to go the wrong direction. This is true of a lot of believers today. They choose to go in the wrong direction. God's challenge for all of us is that we go in the right direction. That we love the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently, supremely. And that we study and grow and advance daily. In our verse, which we see now on the screen, is 1 Corinthians 1:17. This man, having been born into God's kingdom and having been presented in a position of great leadership. We all are aware of the fact that the Apostle Paul was used of God so greatly as he moved from place to place in the establishment of many churches. all of us have studied in past days, the missionary journeys, number one, number two, number three, so forth. But listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. I need to point some things out to you from the original text. First of all, I need to point out to you that we have a postpositive conjunctive particle, gar. When you have a postpositive conjunctive particle, gar, it is simply saying that whatever words are found in the Greek text will actually not be translated first. And so that's the reason why we have what is known as a postpositive conjunctive particle, gar. Does that make sense? In other words, it says for Christ, but not in the original text as the first word. The first word that you see here is ooh. And most of us are aware of the fact that there are at least three major negative adverbs. One is ooh, one is ook, and one is may. How many times have I mentioned this? When you find may, you will find that it is normally used with a verb in the subjunctive mood, which means maybe so, maybe yes, maybe no. But when you find ooh or ook or ook, you'll find that these are strong negative adverbs. And it's pronounced no, not. It's important for me to say it that way. Christ sent me, Paul said, not to baptize. We're going to be talking about baptism. A lot of people have this thing all mixed up, especially churches that have a baptistry. And in front of that baptistry, they will have the verse of Scripture, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as if to remind us that there's something connected with that verse of Scripture and the water that's in that baptistry. I'm here to tell you that you and I must understand that water baptism cannot wash away any sins. You may be held under for a while, but it still won't cleanse you. I just want you to understand that baptism, water baptism, is a beautiful picture. But no, don't put it on the baptistry as if to say there's something connected with salvation in the water that's in that baptistry. The water that you take a bath in at home is the same type of water that people are baptized in. So there's no cleansing power in that water in the baptistry. Now, I don't want to get off into that again, but let me tell you, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but, and there is the conjunction Allah, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? To preach the gospel. Now, let's look at the verbs for a few moments. When the Apostle Paul said, see, he sent me not to baptize, here's the word sent, apostello, aorist active indicative. Would I enjoy talking about all these verbs? Yes, I would. But I can't do it because I know that you want more than just what the verb is. But then it says, he sent me not to baptize. Present active infinitive. The infinitive mood is the mood of wish or desire. Why would the Apostle Paul say something like this if water baptism was so extremely important? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? But to preach. Please let me tell you what this word is. Euangelizo. Euangelizo. Beautiful word. Evangelize. When I look at this word, I see Euaggelizestai. Woo! Isn't that a long word? But I'm looking at it now, and I'm able to see some things in this word that you and I must see. It's a present tense, which means continuous action. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord did not send me to baptize, but to continue to preach. You angelion. EU is a prefix which means good. Angelion is the word which means a message, a messenger. When you have two G's together in the Greek, it is NG. So we have angel, messenger. So we have a word that is beautifully presented to us here. He did not send me to baptize, but to communicate, to preach. Present tense. Oh, but look at this. Look at it, please. Infinitive mood is a mood of wish or desire. We understand that. But you and I also understand that when you have an active voice, the subject produces the action. When you have a passive voice, the subject receives the action. Are you with me? But when you have a middle voice, it means the subject participates in the action, and if it's positive, the subject is benefited thereby. Wow, wow. Folks, don't miss this. Paul says, God desires that I communicate, preach, evangelize. Present, middle, infinitive verb. Present tense, continuous action. Middle voice, I'm doing it, I'm benefited by it, other people are benefited by it. Infinitive mood, mood of wish or desire. I desire to communicate God's word because I'm benefited when I communicate, and people who hear are blessed by it. They're blessed by the communication. Okay. Preacher, you're getting too excited. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to communicate, preach, evangelize. But notice, not with words of wisdom. Sophia, not with words of wisdom. This lets me know how great it is to be aware of the fact that God uses His Word in spite of oftentimes failures of individuals who are trying to present it. Are you with me? Do you see what I just said? God didn't call me to be a minister because of my great intellect. Even though I want you to know it's been great going to school for many, many years, the longer you go to school, the more you realize you don't know. And I've had many years of knowing that I don't know. But I've also had many years of study and enjoying the study. And every day when I awake to come to this word again, it's like a brand new book, a new message. And that's the way it should be, because it's God's message. And this scripture says that the Apostle Paul was saying, I didn't come on this earth to baptize. That's not the major thing. But, conjunction of contrast, but to preach, to communicate the good news, the gospel, not with words of wisdom. The communication of the Word of God is not dependent upon the words of wisdom of the individual proclaiming, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I want you to realize that when I study and when I prepare, and I have so much information, and then I come here, and there's no way that it seems that I'm able to get it all out. You see the challenge? And then for me to leave the service like I did this morning and go to our wonderful break with all of you wonderful, God-blessed individuals, and then come back in here, and then I'll look over here at the notes that have been prepared for the first session, and it didn't get very far. And then I look over here at what I have prepared for the second session today. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I just want you to get the sense of feeling that I have when there's so much, so much. And you're saying now, preacher, if you'd quit talking about it and preach, will you get it? Okay. All right. Thank you for reminding me. Baptism. Defined. 1 Corinthians 1:17, we read it. Also, chapter 12, verse 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. The word baptize, baptizo, from the Greek, means to identify or to be made one with. I would encourage you to put these definitions down. The word baptize from the Greek, baptizo, means to identify or to be made one with. In early Greek, the word had both religious and secular meanings. In general, it refers to the act of identifying one thing with another thing in such a way that its nature or character is changed. Let me give you an illustration. Just now hit my mind. I have a container of red paint. I have a cloth that's white. And I take that white cloth and dip it down into that red paint and bring it back up. And the white cloth is no longer white, but red. Why? Because there's an identification. Notice, if you will, please, again. In general, it refers to the act of identifying one thing with another thing in such a way that its nature or character is changed. Or it represents the idea that a real change has now taken place. As a reference to identification, baptizo, baptize, means to place a person or thing into a new environment or into union with someone or something else so as to alter its condition or relationship to previous environment. It just seems to me that every one of these words is very important. A reference to identification. Baptize means to place a person or thing into a new environment or into union with someone or something else so as to alter its condition or relationship to the previous environment. Your environment before salvation? Lost. Body, soul, no spirit. Your identification with Jesus Christ in salvation, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, transformed you, and you became the recipient of imputed righteousness. God did it. Please don't try to take away with human efforts or human ingenuity that which God does. In other words, if God does something, you put it down, He does a good job. There are seven types of baptism mentioned in the Bible. We will not have the time to go through all of these with great discussion, but I want you, if you will, please, to take some information down. What we have when we study these seven types of baptism, some of them are classified as ritual, and some of them are classified as real. I think we know the difference between ritual and real. The real baptisms are listed now. The baptism of Moses. Secondly, the baptism of the cross or cup. Oh, we could get into this. This is something so great and powerful. When the Lord Jesus Christ was facing His death on the cross, you remember He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." It is so powerful to see the meaning of the word cup. Can't take time there. Real baptisms, number one, the baptism of Moses. Real baptism, secondly, the baptism of the cup. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of fire. What you need to do is to put down those four real baptisms. The baptism of Moses, the baptism of the cup, the cross, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. In the past years, we've studied that baptism of fire a number of times. We'll do it again in coming days. We have four baptisms classified as real. Now we have baptisms classified as ritual. The baptism of John. The baptism of Jesus. The baptism of the Christian. I'm pausing for a few moments to let you have time to take those down. If you didn't get them down, here we go again. There are seven types of baptism mentioned in the Bible. Four of these are real baptisms, and three are ritual. Real baptisms include, number one, the baptism of Moses. Number two, the baptism of the cross. Three, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Four, the baptism of fire. Ritual baptisms, three, the baptism of John, the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of the Christian believer. These seven baptisms are now to be presented to you. I'm just trying to describe. Real baptism. A baptism is called real if it involves actually identifying a person with something or someone. Please notice now, that's a very important definition. A baptism is called real if it involves actually identifying a person with something or someone. Give you illustrations now. The baptism of Moses. The baptism of Moses was a double identification. The children of Israel are identified both with Moses and with the cloud. The cloud represents Jesus Christ. The baptism of Moses was a double identification. The children of Israel are identified both with Moses and with the cloud, Jesus Christ, as they passed through the Red Sea. There was no water involved. Remember, they went through the sea on dry land when the waters were parted. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2 describes that. Could you take a moment and review? Okay, I will. The baptism of Moses. The baptism of Moses was a double identification. The children of Israel are identified both with Moses and with the cloud representing Jesus, as they passed through the Red Sea. There was no water involved. Remember, they went through the sea on dry land when the waters were parted. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. The baptism of the cross or cup. Jesus Christ drank the cup filled with our sins. This almost makes me want to cry when I realize that many times we don't understand what Jesus Christ did for you and me. We don't understand it. And we take it lightly. We move away from it. Don't give consideration to it. The baptism of the cross. The baptism of the cup. Jesus Christ drank the cup filled with your sins and mine. Another way of expressing it is that all the sins of the world were put into one cup and poured out on Jesus Christ and for him to be judged for our sins. God the Father judged our sins while they were on Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ was identified with our sins, with our sin, and he bore our sins on the cross. Words are so important. Sometimes we miss. Right here, I just about missed because I properly read it. Christ was identified with our sin, and he bore our sins on the cross. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin for us. It doesn't say he was made sinful for us. He was made sin for us. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus speaks of the cup he's to drink. And he makes it a reply to the mother of Zebedee's children. In Matthew 26, 39, he prays to the Father, "Let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, he determined to drink from the cup, as seen in John chapter 8, 18, verse 11. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? John 18, 11. So much more could be said there. Next, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real baptism. When a person accepts Christ as Savior, that person is placed into the body of Christ. He's identified as a believer. And the mechanics of this is given to us in the scripture we use in the first service today. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Baptized into the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit did not occur in the Old Testament times. The first occurrence was on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit placed the new believers into the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the basis for positional truth. Positional sanctification. Positional sanctification means we are placed in union with Jesus Christ in salvation. Experiential sanctification means that you and I are growing on a day-by-day basis. Ultimate sanctification means that there will be a day when you and I will breathe our last breath. The heart will tick for the last time. And ultimate sanctification is ours. We'll be moved into the presence of our Savior Jesus Christ forever and forever and forever. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the basis for positional truth. Believers are placed in Christ, and in this position have access to many kinds of privileges and blessings. Most of us don't realize how many blessings are designed for us as believers if we just get right, stay right, and be the recipient of these blessings. You see what I'm saying? I'm just about fussing with myself. I'm not going to fuss with you. If I fuss with myself enough, you're going to see it and you'll make application to yourself. If I fuss with myself enough to let you see the importance of what I'm saying, then you are going to say, if that preacher is going to be fussing with himself, then I need to be fussing with myself. If you and I would only be able to see the blessings and rewards that God has for us, if we'll just get right and stay right with God and love God and love God's Word and do what God wants us to do. You see what is being said? Preacher, why are you getting so excited? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the basis for positional truth. Believers are placed in Christ. And this position, we have access to many kinds of privileges and blessings. Ephesians 1 has a good description of what it means to have all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was prophesied by John the Baptist. Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16. It was prophesied by Jesus Christ in John 14:16, 17, Acts 1:5. The implications of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for all believers in the family of God are given in the book of Galatians. What a magnificent book, the book of Galatians, chapter 3, 26 through 28. The principle of retroactive identification with Christ is brought out in Romans 6, 3. Could I stop for a moment? I know it's time to go, but let me stop for a moment. What do we mean by retroactive positional sanctification? Are those just a bunch of words rolled out? What do we mean by retroactive positional sanctification? Positional sanctification means when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were saved. Do you realize that the work of Jesus Christ came at a point of time in history, in actuality? Do you realize what God did at that point of time in history makes application to all periods of time? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. 2017, 1999, whatever date you want to put. The implications of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for all believers in the family of God are given in Galatians 3. The principle is retroactive identification with Christ, and it's brought out in Romans 6, 3 and 4 and Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Must hasten. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen to this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an experience. It is not accompanied by speaking in tongues or any other kind of feeling or behavior. In the future, we're going to be dealing with the subject of tongues. We're going to be talking about what the Bible teaches in relationship to legitimate tongues and illegitimate tongues. We're going to be dealing with particular points of time in history. There was a time when there was legitimate tongues. And we have to understand it, understand the meaning. What we need to know is also what God has done over the period of years and how things have changed. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an experience. It is not accompanied by speaking in tongues or any kind of feeling or behavior. A lot of people get all confused about salvation in the fact that they somehow have concluded that to be saved you have to have a certain type of a feeling. That you have to have some kind of a real serious emotional experience. Some people are saved who, because of their particular type of individuals, they do not have much of an emotional experience at salvation. On the other hand, there are people who, because of their particular nature, their salvation experience is somehow expressed in somewhat of a different way. It is not the emotion of the body, it is the expression of the soul that saves an individual. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And get emotional and cry a lot. Did I add something to it? Yes, I did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, and you can be dunked into the water and you'll be saved. Did I add something to it? Yes, I did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Period. There it is. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I and you in me. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Simple as that. The things that happen to believers at the moment of salvation are accomplished by the Holy Spirit, not by us. And these things are not experiences. I'll start at that point Wednesday night. My plans were to deal with the subject of Jesus and the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night. Can't do that. I'll just have to continue where we are here. Okay? Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to focus our attention upon these magnificent truths of your word. So much for us to learn. So much for us to experience on a day-by-day basis. For us to be able to see from God's vantage point, vertical viewpoint. It takes time for us to have that vertical viewpoint. It takes deliberation, determination, consistency on our part to be able to see from God's viewpoint. It's very important that we see as God sees, but we'll never be able to see as God sees if we are not able to have the mind, the thinking of Jesus Christ. In these last few moments of this service, Father, if there's someone out there somewhere, or even in this auditorium, who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that they will do that right now, because we know that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We pray that there will be people who will do that now. And we thank you again for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.